Thank you. I'm going to start with a poem that I was inspired to write after attending the T.S. Eliot Prize, the shortlist, shortlisted poets reading. I was just struck watching them, how public an act it is, reading out some intensely private thoughts. It's a poem called At the Awards. I saw Peter Porter piss tonight. No, I almost did. Held the door to let his parting thank you out, while other published poets, marked with backstage passes, eased their arses, steadied legs, looked up, performed. I waited, watching their backs. One day, I'll be the same. Take my turn, walk forward, rock from heel to toe, relax my frightened arse, arrange myself. Publicly perform my private act, spotlit, facing all of you, an old man's faltering, stuttering trickle. The second poem I'm going to read is my attempt to almost test to breaking point a Spenserian sonnet, because I am saying earlier I hate rhyme that is foregrounded. It's also about a friend, a girl who in 1986 decided that she quite fancied me and got drunk and fell into my arms, and then rather rudely, 10 years later, died in a canoeing accident. And it's about the anger I felt and how eventually through writing this poem three times I finally worked it out. It's called Wasting Time. Like Petrarch, I could write about a deer encountered, loved and lost again. Wine like Wyatt. Or like Shakespeare, build a clever argument, complain of love's unfairness, remain uncertain, end with a coupled question mark in rhyme. But how can 14 lines contain my anger, or explain my clifftop climb in search of you, describe the time we kissed and clung together 20 years ago, and how I'm always looking out for you, forever raking over everything we did and said. A waste of time. We loved. You're dead. Third one is an email I got from my sister telling me about a friend of hers, an inspirational teacher who'd been in a relationship and then hadn't had a child. Then he fell in love with something else, and she became pregnant. And in this very small Wiltshire village, tongues started to wag, and she felt that it was unfair on someone who was basically a good person. I really don't give a monkey's about the morality, but it was a jolly good story. It's called Bastard Baby. There's an icy fog this morning, and I'm listening to the frosty whispers, susurrating breath against the brittle reeds, and working through a simple problem. If I must, and we can't, and she can, what more is there to say? And the same sum simplified, 2 minus n, bracketed for years, plus another 1, equals 2 without the brackets, divided by the 1 who now has n, where n is my beloved, longed for, hope made human bastard baby. So sing, you brittle reeds, I have another mouth to feed. Poem called Love Song. Walk with me on the ghosts of pavements, barefoot, backwards, sideways, down. Slide through stone till toes meet silt, burrowing mole blind into the mud. And we'll plaster our skins with shiny darkness, leave our legs to meander from delta to delta, make a bed for the night in the folds of the river, fall asleep to the world and deaf to the stars. And we'll wake to the sun's shout, hide under shadows thrown down by clouds as they run off to sea, break from the hold of our hard-baked bedclothes, bathing our bodies in blue-green sky. Then we'll find what was wanting and want what we find. I, you in your eyes, and you, me in mine. This was an exercise in a creative writing class, which was to take a poem by Rothke, and I think I've done at least a more cheerful version than his miserable poem. It's called The Weariness of Trains. Day after day I dream the weariness of trains rattling on their way to tired, greying termini, with rows of nodding heads on crowded shoulders, faces masking irritation at the endless stops and starts, the coughs and farts, the seething heat beneath the seats, the shuffling feet in secret wars for other spaces, and all the time for everyone to see and none to notice, lovers laughing. Day after day I climb the clattering stairs to light, cold air and open, busy spaces, men with cases marching fast, suited women pushing past, and all oblivious to the lovers locked in one last kiss beside the blue-green river. I'm going to end with one that is really an incantation to my father, who's just been diagnosed with prostate cancer and who had a heart over the summer that started going haywire, going from about 10 beats a minute up to 180. And the idea was to write something which was so regular, so restrained, that just as I write sometimes according to my heartbeat, I could will his heart to beat regularly. It's called Irregular Rhythm. 50 beats to tell you how I feel, to shape emotions out of language, find ways to show my love in 5 reluctant lines, and end a manly silence that spans years. 40 faltering words to say I need you. Thank you.